Verse 10, chapter 1.
Do we have a blower?
Yeah.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
She's our blower.
That's Ronnie's favorite job. First Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. Wait for a son from heaven whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. We spent a whole bunch of time earlier on what it meant and how he raised him from the dead, the regeneration and all that. We talked a little bit about delivered. It's Ryomai, and it means to draw to oneself. So what? You're not independently delivered from anything. You are delivered into Him. And that's a huge difference in what is normally taught about what delivered means.
Yeah, that's wild.
And so get that in your mind. Whenever you see the word delivered, it means that He has drew us into Him. Remember, it's this weird construct. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's half that. Then you in Christ is the other half. And it's just like in the tabernacle. The gold, the tabernacle was made of acacia. The Ark of the Covenant was made of acacia wood, the worst kind of wood there is. Ugly plant thing. Should have been, we think we'd make it of cedar or something wonderful. But then it's overlaid with gold outside and inside. So we, as the vessel that is broken here, we are overlaid with gold in and out, but we are not conscious of the gold. You have to know that you're in Him and He is in you. Prepositional phrase in Christ is used over 200 times in the New Testament. Does everybody understand how important this is? So you're delivered into Him.
Is it gold on the inside or silver?
Gold.
Both sides.
Silver's redemption. That's, remember the stakes that set up the tabernacle had to be, that went into the ground,
silver
had
sockets.
To have silver. That's
sockets.
Okay? And delivered us from the wrath to come. Now, we don't like to think about wrath. It's easy to philosophically ignore wrath. Now, in Him, there is no wrath. In Him, there's only chastisement. What's the difference between chastisement and wrath? Well, chastisement is for your benefit. Wrath is for your punishment. In Him, He has delivered us from the wrath.
Amen.
We have chastisement, but that's not wrath. It's a big difference. So let's look at a bunch of places about wrath. Let's go to Romans. Let's go to Romans 5.
I started talking about that. I was picturing those black holes and everything.
That's right.
Just waiting to. It's like God's just holding that. If He ever takes His hand away, all that will just suck up.
This is just another saying of this in verse 9. It's much more than being justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through or in Him. Okay? But let's look at, I don't want to go all through all those. There's a bunch of them that says the same thing. Ephesians 5, verse 6, Colossians 3, Matthew 3, 7, Luke 3, 7. But let's go to Jude.
Jude is a great chapter. I mean, a great book.
there's five.
I got a certain question. There are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Now, we went through each one of these words, and I think you found out most of it applied to you and me. It's not them. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring a hint against, even against him, a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke." But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beast, and those things they corrupt themselves. So again, any part of your religion that you know naturally, i.e. the prosperity gospel, God wants you to be rich or some other horse hockey. It is, you are as a brute beast, because you only know it naturally. And those things, they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain. Now, what is the way of Cain? This is the first great idea. Cain and Abel were twins. Cain, in all sincerity, he dug in the earth, planted seeds, and then from the fruit of those seeds, he made an offering. And that sounds like just so sincere. And that's what men do when they, what they do. They've got some idea of what it is they're going to do because they've dug around in the flesh and come up with something, or in their mind, so they figure out something to do. And that means they've gone the way of Cain. Doesn't matter how religious it sounds. Abel, on the other hand, he slew the lamb, because that is the only offering that's acceptable to God. So we saw the mystery of Christ and his sacrifice in Cain and Abel. And that's what we see throughout the rest of the scriptures. We've gone greedily after, wait a minute, where are we here? We are. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Now, what is the way of Balaam? What did Balaam do? Balaam mixed mystery of God with politics. He talked to, in his Bible study, he talked about red states and blue states. Those who know who I'm talking to.
Elephants and asses.
Worse. For reward and parent. And how do you get rewards? In a political system, in any political system, you are convinced that if you vote for the right person, it'll benefit you. So you run greedily after the way of Balaam for reward. And perished in the gainsaying of Korah. What was Korah's gainsaying? What did Korah do? Korah's rebellion, we read it every year in Yom Kippur or in the Fast of Abel.
Pentecost.
Wasn't
that when the
Korah's
rebellion happened?
But anyway, Korah strange spire.
Oops.
Like that.
A strange spire.
Nice timing.
It was, wasn't it?
Nice.
Then he has to read the message to see if it's important or not.
You're not always right.
Some alien male or males until we fold it up his hand.
He perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Now what did Korah do? The only thing he did, he was very sincere. He had an offering from the altar of incense, which is your mind, your thoughts. He had an offering from the altar of incense that hadn't, where the fire for the altar of incense hadn't come from the blood, i.e. the sacrifices and the brazen offering. So you ran around and thought up crap to do that it didn't originate in the blood. Anyway, that's the gainsaying of Korah. What? Anybody understand what that is?
Similar to those two sons of Aaron.
Yeah.
Didn't he also confront Moses with,
I'm just as good as you are.
Why can't I lead the tribes? Who told you that?
Okay. All right.
Swallowed him up.
These are spots in your feasts of charity, in your Gathi feast, in your Seder. These are spots in your feasts of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince or convict all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed. And of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Well, again, the word ungodly, you can put your own twist on it. You say, well, that means those folks. But ungodly doesn't mean without God. It means wrong thinking. Remember, God doesn't give a hoot what your outward expression, what you do outwardly. He cares what the inward religion is within you as his temple. And anything you do that comes from all the things we just talked about, the way of Cain, of Korah, of Balaam, you are wrong. It's wrong thinking because it isn't, doesn't come from the blood. Yeah? Everybody does it. So you see how evil it is. Anybody have any questions about this?
It's just that it's so easy to fall into the Cain thing because you're just like, well, if I, you know, I feel bad, so I'll do some good.
Or I have a need. I have a need, so I'll think up a way to solve it.
Cover up something.
The second you say I feel bad, it's like, oh, dull.
Everybody understand this, Gary?
Ellie, I hear what you're saying. So there's really nothing more evil than the silent judge within you that you don't reveal.
Yeah, because you're both the court, the attorney, the prosecuting attorney, you're the judge, and you're the jury, and you execute the punishment. All of it is ungodly. Wrong thinking.
There's no
lascivious.
There's no way to correct that thinking into right thinking.
Not
thinking.
Well, except
man
of
himself.
Except the only thing, you know.
That God's the judge.
Yeah, God is everything. And we are his empty vessels. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts. Their mouth speaketh great swelling words. having men's persons an admiration because of an advantage. In other words, to try to gain an advantage, either more people or more something, or get something, get a contract, whatever it is, you are, it's manipulative to get, to get an, it's really all kinds of cause and effect.
It's schmoozing.
Well, it's even worse than that. It's any cause and effect. If I do this, this will happen. A little bit.
If I sit here real quiet, nothing will happen.
That's cause and effect.
That's what Harry said. He said, if I don't move,
yeah.
Nobody will notice.
That in and of itself causes an effect.
And also, there's that part of me, it's also, if I don't do this, then this will happen.
Yeah. Right.
Still cause and effect.
Or if I do this, it won't happen.
Yeah. Really, I mean, this is kind of important. Because this touches the way you think.
No, it even gets to the point of, okay, I'll go all the way and I'll abandon myself so that something can happen. And when your mind cannot do anything but try and find the limits of this, and that just shows their.
All right, let's go to 2 Peter.
Awesome.
Chapter 3. Verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And you've got to see that I can't tell you how big this is. You've got to see that you're the one that is preventing his return or his end because of his long suffering towards you. And then if you continue doing it when you see that, then you become what the Bible calls lascivious. Because you're saying, well, I'm just going to continue doing this until God does something. Even though you know that it must be repentant. Nobody here would do that, right?
Raise your hand.
We don't give a hoot.
All right. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Now, this day of the Lord, it's both the glorious day for his saints, his believers, and it's the worst day imaginable for everything else. Again, we have no understanding who those believers are. It's never our business. Got it?
Yeah.
All right. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heaven shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons are you to be in all holy conversation? And that means your manner of life and godliness. You repent at anything other than pure faith. And if this isn't true, then you're wasting your life anyway. You might as well go out, eat, drink, and be merry. Do whatever you want to do. And just keep doing the crap that used to give you sustenance and satisfaction. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. And that's that experience I had when I saw that hydrogen bomb dissolve. make it vaporized as if it never existed. And that's what will happen to the world. And all of time and space. All of the elements, all of the mountains, all of the planets, all of the constellations will disappear at the speed of thought. And they'll become as nothing. Does anybody believe that? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new land, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look. There's nothing left to happen for this to happen. Everybody have a good understanding of what wrath means?
Yeah, I was thinking of Noah's Ark.
Same thing. Yeah.
In Christ, if that were true, you'd be wiped out.
Now this is what, you know, I've heard hundreds of people over the years say, well, I don't believe in that.
Believe in wrath?
No, don't believe in that, but I just said. And many others say they believe in it, but act like they don't. Because there's no zeal.
I believe the Bible's the word of God, but that part of it, I'm bullshit.
All right, let's go back to 1 Thessalonians. There's one other important point in the first chapter. Deliver us from the wrath to come. Now, the word to come is erkomai, which means it's in the present perfect tense. It means that everything was ready for that to happen then, and everything is ready for that to happen at every second of every day. Understand that? And it's the same thing. Let's go to John 3:36.
Big John.
Yes.
Thank you.
He that believeth on, and again, believeth here is in pistis, which means total reliance, total trust, total. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life. The wrath of God abideth on him. I didn't want to study that one. What? That's a good one.
It's like the wrath of God abides currently. It's also, it has been coming, you know, from eternity. It's like all these things are happening at the same time. It's just time and space are here for the purpose of when time and space are gone. It's like,
yeah, because when the mystery of God is completed, like, time shall need be no more. And when time is no more, everything is dissolved instantly. Mm-hmm. Boom.
Well, it's like we're seated in heavenly places with him now, and at the same time, wrath is abiding on unbelief in general.
Yeah.
And it's like at the same time.
All right, let's go. Let's just, I'm not going to go to all these others. Let's just go to Revelation 22.
Bless you, Sue.
Well, this is almost to the end of the Bible. Mm-hmm.
And he said unto me these things, in verse 6, and he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. The Lord God, whom the holy prophets, sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. No. Everybody remember what icon quickly means? Have the word for it?
Maranatha.
Maranatha. It means, it's this present perfect tense. It means that it was true then. It's true at every time. And the only thing that's happening from your perspective is your rebellion is what's keeping him from the finished, from the thing being conquered. You have to see it that heavily internally. Otherwise, your whole being just does sloth as it usually does. It just sort of goes around and lives and does stuff. Everybody understand a little bit? What's going on?
Now, you know me, I'm always thinking about the us and them thing. Like, it just seems awkward that I'll ever come to a point in my life where I say, oh, I get it now. I'm a believer.
That's God's business right now.
Right. I don't really want that.
Yeah, take a number.
Do you think anybody really wants that?
Jeez.
I want to live my life to self-realization.
No, it's not that. Well,
it is that.
Well, but it's also, I don't want to claim anything that separates me from communion with others in judgment.
Well, you're not. If you are, then you're in the wrong place.
Right.
I don't either. That's why it just drives me up at 3 when I hear people say, are you redeemed or are you saved? Or
mm-hmm.
That's a meaningless statement
right.
of judgment.
It treats it like cause and effect.
But all
I've gotten this, so then I am here
but
and
again,
there.
You have to act as if you're one of the bad guys.
Right. Well, we are.
Because you are.
Right.
The only one that's saved is Christ in you. The best you can be is a sperm cell. The best you can be is a vessel.
But the light is in all men.
Right.
Yeah.
There's no. God didn't leave his having this be known to all the world unto us,
right.
or to some idiot evangelist.
Mm-hmm.
The line is proclaimed throughout all the earth. Whenever you come to the end of yourself, there he is.
That I get.
Well, that's all that you need to get right now. What happens to others is not our business. Except you're studying what it meant for the wrath to come. Amen?
I've dealt with that by realizing that I'm not the believer. The believer lives in me. And I place that burden on Christ. He's the believer. And then there's nothing more after that.
Yeah, but remember, you are to be transformed, transfigured by the renewing of your mind.
Which is
so that you have the mind of Christ, which is always empty.
And that mind is the one that believes, not my little pea brain.
But there's a sloth in that. You have to. It's not just that he's the one that believes. That you have to understand that every single thought that you have is the way of Cain. Not an act, it's a state of being. A continual abandonment of self. Constant abandonment. And to sum it up, you never take yourself seriously. You never do a Scott work, if he's listening.
Do what?
What?
That's Scott work.
Just gonna wrap this up a little.
Take it, big guy.